changes how you look at everything, and how you look at every day, how you look at your children, how you look at your husband, how you look at the birds, both the ones I have indoors and outdoors. How you look at your, I look at my mother, I look at, you know, all of my kids, my friends, my job. You know, you don't take anything for granted anymore. And if you start to take something for granted, you gotta slap yourself and say, snap out of it, enjoy everything you've got. Because no matter who we are and what our station in life is, you don't know what tomorrow brings.
On today's edition of the Daytime Confidential podcast, Luke and I welcome one of our collective podcast hosts' favorite soap superstars, Colleen Zink Pinter, who since 1978 has played the role of As the World Turns fabulous fashionista Barbara Ryan. Colleen, welcome.
Whoa, what a nice intro. Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be with you guys.
It is our pleasure having you here, and we are thrilled to be visiting with you as well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now, Ms. Barbara Ryan has been getting her cougar on lately, and we are loving it. Are you enjoying being on screen?
I've waited a while. It's been about the dry period for Barbara. It's been worth the wait because I just had so much fun with Trent Dawson, who plays Henry Coleman. We were like two kids in a candy shop, and we have very similar work methods and rhythms as actors. And we just fell into a groove with each other. It was like we've been working together forever. And we just had so much fun, and it was so outrageous. And I know that there were some fans that found it rather unsavory, including my children, by the way. And Mom, they were very upset. But I just had a grand time with it. And, it takes the characters in a different direction, which, you know, you will see, you saw last week with what was going on, and also this coming week you're going to see an awful lot of change in direction of characters' lives.
Awesome. We can't wait. We have really been enjoying it. I mean, yeah, I see that kind of stuff out there, and it's like, I don't know what they're watching, but I'm watching two smoking hot people go at it. So, there you go.
Oh, thanks.
Well, Henry seducing Barbara to get his hands on the Stenbeck Millions seemed like a plot device at first, but you and Trent have smoking hot chemistry. Will we be seeing more of the pairing in the coming weeks, or will this storyline take you in a new direction?
Well, both, actually. You will continue to see Trent and me together, but as I said, lives change this week. And so a lot of priorities and motivations change as well with everything that happens in Oakdale. And if that's not a tease, I don't know what is.
Nice.
Well, I've been loving every minute of Barbara's comic rivalry with Audrey, played by General Hospital alum Lynn Herring. Was it fun for Barbara to get her claws again after being stuck playing Mother Hen to Paul for so long?
Oh, God. You know, first of all, for Colleen the actress, it was so much fun to have a woman there of my age who I could bounce things back off of. And I never knew Lynn's work before. I knew her, but I never knew her work. And so I didn't have any idea what she did or what her rhythms were like whatsoever. And I just got a complete kick out of her. I just thought she was hilarious. And we really enjoyed each other. We enjoyed working together, and it was great fun. As far as Barbara goes, I think Barbara was shocked more than anything by Audrey's behavior, Henry's behavior, and her own behavior. I think Barbara was a little shaken up by the turn of events and how she reacted to all of it, and especially when Vienna had a few unkind things to say to her.
Mm-hmm. You know, my favorite scene was after basically the afterglow moment where Barbara is kind of humming and doing the Scarlett O'Hara after Rhett. And she goes, I've still got it.
You know, I didn't see that scene. I have to go back and look at that show because I didn't see that scene. So thank you.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
It's a little self-conscious to play stuff like that. Gazing in the mirror. Actually, you don't even look in the mirror. You're looking to make sure that you see the camera eye, and you're not even really looking at yourself in order for them to get the proper shot. So it's a little odd. So I'm glad it worked.
Let me tell you. Myself and Stephanie Sloan, Soap Opera Digest editor, and Nelson Branco from TV Guide Canada, we were on the pre-show for the Emmys, and I came out of that saying, you know, I don't ever want to criticize an actor again. It didn't last long. But just all of the people pointing at the different cameras, no, look at this camera. Look, and I was like, oh, my God. And this was like for a 10-minute segment, so I can imagine, you know, what you guys have to go through. Now, Colleen, Luke and I are both relatively new viewers to As the World Turns. We followed the Another World characters over in 1999. But in the time that we've been watching, Barbara hasn't really been a comic character before this. Are you enjoying the funny stuff, or do you prefer Barbara as the tortured romantic heroine more?
Oh, I don't think she's been a tortured romantic heroine for quite some time.
That's true.
20 years since she's been that.
Yeah, I guess since we've watched, she's kind of been more of a villainess in a way. So, of the three, which have you preferred?
I don't think I prefer any of them. I like the mix.
Okay.
And it's the one thing about this character that I so adore is that she's not a villainess, even though I won the Villain of the Year award a couple times from the Soap Digest. She's not the villain. She's not the evil one. She's not the bitch. She's not the heroine. She's not the love goddess. She's not just the mother of all evils. She's everything. In any one show, I can play six different things. And, for example, Monday's show was like that. A week ago Monday, the 19th, that show was like that, where it started out with me just being so upset with Henry and then becoming over on his side to help Katie. And then I was, there with Parker, who was my stepson when I was married to Hal. Mm-hmm. And, you saw Barbara go through a variety of different emotions throughout the day. And it is what I love about that character, is that you never know. You never know what Barbara you're going to get.
I like that.
I like playing that. If Barbara were one note, I still would not be here after, I just started my 32nd year. Believe me, I wouldn't be here.
Because I hear you.
She wouldn't be any fun to play. I mean, that's
why she's
a lot
of fun to watch. That's for sure.
Thank you. As far as the comedy goes, the last time I really got to play comedy was also with Trent, and it was a number of years ago when Emily and Lily and Henry kidnapped Barbara and locked her up in the cabin.
Yes.
And Barbara tried to break out of the cabin, and all she could do was get her head through the doggy door. And Henry came and blew her down with the massive, giant squirt gun thing. Do you remember that at all?
I remember the storyline, yeah.
Very funny. It's on YouTube. But that's the last time I really had a chance.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and post that, too. I said, we'll have to go ahead and post that clip on the blog. We'll find it and put it up on the blog.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty, pretty funny. It's a prelude to Henry and Barbara now.
Well, you were hilarious also in the special episode, where the fairy tales. I mean, it was just amazing stuff.
I had so much fun with that. And, the day we shot the Wizard of Oz sequence in Central Park, was my last day of work before I started, not to bring this a downer, but it was just so much fun for me, and I was so exhilarated. It was my last day of work before I started radiation for my last round of cancer. I just had surgery 4 weeks before that, and so I was just coming off healing from my neck dissection. Oh, you can hear the announcement in my dressing room. I just was healing from my neck dissection, and the next day I was starting my radiation. So it was just so great for me to be there with the cast and have so much fun before I went down this my own black hole for a couple of months.
Well, and that's, I would not consider that a downer at all, because you have managed to turn what could have been a tragic diagnosis into such a triumph, becoming a spokesperson for oral cancer health and working with the Oral Cancer Foundation. We were going to ask that a little later, but we'll just, you know, dive right into that now. Facing a diagnosis like that, how has that changed you as an actress, a wife, a mother? What did that do for you in terms of how you look at your life now?
How long is this interview? Just to be funny. it changes everything. It changes how you look at everything and how you look at every day, how you look at your children, how you look at your husband, how you look at the birds, both the ones I have indoors and outdoors. How you look at I look at my mother. I look at, you know, all of my kids, my friends, my job. You know, you don't take anything for granted anymore. And if you start to take something for granted, you got to slap yourself and say, snap out of it, enjoy everything you've got. Because no matter who we are and what our station in life is, you don't know what tomorrow brings. You mm-hmm. don't know. So you just have to be thrilled for and enjoy what you have.
Right.
And that's really the lesson that I learned. I've always been a very optimistic person. I've been accused of being a Pollyanna my entire life, which has taken me through some previous rough times as well. But I knew the only way I could battle this was head on. I am not a person who lays down and says uncle. And so the only way I knew to tackle it, which is the way I did, was say, okay, I got to fight it and I got to be a voice, because if I got this with no risk factors, that means hundreds of other people out there are probably walking around with it as well, not knowing that they're at risk and need to be diagnosed, need to be checked, need to be looked over. And so I made it my mission. In fact, I'm speaking for the American Cancer Society in another 2 weeks. I'm lecturing for them, and I'm lecturing next month at NYU. And I'm just, you know, I'm involved up to my eyeballs as much as I can in just getting the word out to get mm-hmm. to your dentist and get an oral cancer screening. And it takes 5 minutes, and as I've said a million times, you don't even have to take your clothes off. So it's a pretty simple little thing just to go in and get checked and have a little peace of mind.
Definitely.
And I mean, I get letters. I get several letters a week. I just got a letter 2 days ago on Facebook from a woman who was diagnosed in late fall of 07, which sounds like the very same diagnosis, and she had very similar surgery that I first had. And she had heard that there was an actress who got diagnosed with this. And so she went to her dentist, and sure enough, there it was. And I've had so many of these letters, and it just makes me feel like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm supposed to be doing. So that's what I'm doing. And just being as outspoken and loudmouthed about it as I possibly can be.
Well, we definitely appreciate that. I know cancer has really affected my family in a lot of horrifying ways. And so just seeing you out there getting the word out is definitely inspiring. Now, your long-term co-star, Anthony Herrera, also battled cancer. When you were first diagnosed, did you talk to him? Did you maybe pick his brain about what journey you might have to go down?
Well, you know, every cancer is different. And I had been along for the ride with Anthony when he went through all of his many years of his cancer war. Which is the name of his book, by the way.
Yes.
Plug out there for Anthony's book.
we'll put it in the blog too, definitely.
Okay, and he'll appreciate that. And so, yes, I knew what he had gone through, and I have a number of other friends who have been through it in many different ways, with some with not very good outcomes, and some who are just fine. And every journey is different. Every cancer is different, and just because someone has one cancer, it's not necessarily the same type of journey that you're going to go on with the same type of treatment that you're going to have as well. Even the same cancer, oral cancer, tongue cancer like mine, can be treated in a variety of different ways, depending on the doctors that you are with and exactly where it is in your mouth and what they feel your outcome is, what your stage is at. So what's helpful is for survivors to share stories and to hear the positive side of what your life can become mm-hmm. after cancer, which I'll tell you something, Anthony Herrera is a very strong guy. In fact, mm-hmm. he was here today in the studio.
Fantastic. And,
is James coming back again?
No, I said he was in for a haircut, and I'm not stupid. He was literally in for a haircut and to see everybody. And, you know, he stops in from time to time. It was great to see him. Looking fabulous. And he's 10 years out. So, you know, that's, and he had a terrible prognosis. I mean, he was not given long, and here he is. So that's
the
story.
Someone had a plan.
Yeah, that's the story. That is incredibly uplifting and shows great hope and faith and promise for those out there who are and will be afflicted with this hideous disease. Mm-hmm. So enough about that.
Well, speaking of Anthony, then, you know, getting back to a happier subject, there are rumors that Tom Pelfrey's new character is going to somehow be connected to the late, great Stenbeck. Can you spill any of that for us, or is there anything you can tell?
My lips are sealed. We'll have to talk later.
All right.
You'll have to have me back on for me to spill that one.
Oh, we will. We will definitely have you on. We'll make you a regular. You'll be like Heather Locklear, Daytime Confidential with special guest star Colleen Ziegfelder.
Love that.
Barbara and James, like, you guys have had this, you know, for me, when I start watching a soap, I go back and read the history books, which are always like these great novels, you know. And Barbara and James had this Wuthering Heights-style gothic love-hate storyline. Yet in the last couple of years, it's kind of just been used every sweeps or, you know, just to kind of advance plot. Does that frustrate you guys a little bit?
Yes, greatly. Frankly, it does. Because it's... You know, there's so much history there that they can mine. And as Anthony said all day long, he said, you realize that come January, this coming January, this lady and I will have been working together for 30 years.
Wow.
And, it's Barbara and James's 30th anniversary coming up in December, which
nice.
I think is kind of interesting, actually.
It's
timely.
Iconic, yeah.
But yes, it does frustrate me that they haven't used more of us together. I know, I understand that story needs to be advanced, that we need to include other characters, there needs to be more of umbrella stories for different people. And I love the fact, especially that this last go-around, that is what we did. But I was just so sorry that I didn't get a chance to do a little bit more with him. You know, mm-hmm. Lynn got all that fun.
Mm-hmm. Ever since, I guess, the 80s with the Luke and Laura craze, soaps have been all about couples. And with both James and Hal, who was played by the late Benjamin Hendrickson off the canvas, has it been a struggle for you as an actress to keep Barbara viable and intact and possessing the character's integrity, which the fans love so much?
That's a good question. I think the thing that's been most frustrating for me is that the focus that has happened on younger characters for a while. And a lot of us were forgotten in the wayside while we were trying to bring in new audience with younger characters, because I don't believe that's the way it works. I think you have to keep your characters on the canvas that the audience knows and loves and recognizes, and then have new people be introduced through them, which is the way it used to work. It doesn't always work. I mean, I think our show is far better than a lot of them in introducing characters that way. Very rarely does a character come into Oakdale that's not connected some way or another with somebody who's already here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, very rarely is somebody just dropping out of the sky. But I do think that we have to maintain our multi-generational storytelling, which YNR has been so good with all these years, and Bold and Beautiful as well. Helen Wagner is still with us.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, you know, Bob and Kim Hughes are here tomorrow. Tomorrow we shoot one of the Christmas shows.
Oh,
And
nice.
we had the whole Hughes family here, which is lovely. And I have to say, that's what we're doing all this week, is actually today is one of the New Year's Eve shows. I'm doing two shows today, so it's a little wacky. But
Oh.
the rest of this week has been all of the Christmas week shows. I think the fans are going to be so thrilled because they're going to see the entire community of Oakdale. They're going to
Nice.
see
Great.
all the families will be highlighted on one day or another during Christmas week. It's beautiful.
I just got chills hearing you say that.
Oh yeah, that sounds
Yeah.
amazing. That sounds like what we've been waiting for so long. And
Yeah.
you hit the nail on the head. It's like anytime you read a soap opera book about what made it successful or any just basic common sense thing, it always says that you have to tie the newbies in with the vets that the fans know and love. But it seems in the last 10, 15, almost going on 20 years, they've forgotten that. And they feel like they should just, create a new town full of newbies and use the vets as back burner. And I have to tell you, it
Right.
broke our heart to read in the Dutch magazine Weekend that Eileen Fulton is basically wishing that they would just go ahead and kill Lisa off and be done with it. When, as you mentioned, whereas Y&R, the number one soap, has people like Jeanie Cooper and Eric Braeden, who are both senior citizens, driving story every week. And you're just like, you don't, it's like it's a head scratcher as to why other soaps, it's not just As the World Turns, it's pretty much an epidemic with all the soaps that,
Right.
the vets we want to see. I mean, we joke that we're getting our General Hospital reunion just on As the World Turns. It's, you don't
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
the vets anymore.
Well, I think one thing about Eileen's comment, I don't think she really means it. I think it was a flip comment that she made that has now been carried in the press everywhere. She doesn't really mean that. And the other thing is that Eileen has I'm sure you know this, a very successful cabaret career going. She's touring all the time. So she's all over the place and a busy girl. And I won't even tell you what year she just turned on her birthday on September 13th. But she's doing really, really well. And I think, well, I know this. I know her feelings are hurt because she hasn't been used as much as she would like to be used. And she was the very first soap young bitch that existed. It was all about her, and they spun her off to her own nighttime show, and she was in prime time. And,
Our
she was
private
a
world, yeah. That's just amazing to me to even imagine a time when soaps were that amazingly popular that you would take a daytime character and give her a primetime soap spinoff. And I think it could be again if they just got
Well,
back to basics.
I don't think that will happen. But what
No.
has happened is that prime time has taken our format and gone off and spun it on its own. How
Yes.
many of these shows now in prime time are really soaps?
The majority.
I mean, for Desperate Housewives, yeah, majority. They're soaps, except for the standalone crime shows and the law shows. Many of them, not the sitcoms, but many of the other shows that remain are soaps, and they've got the budget. We don't have the budget anymore to do the
It
kind of
isn't
things.
ironic that the soaps used to be so popular that they underwrote prime time, but
Exactly.
there's no,
Well, exactly.
it's funny.
Completely. We completely supported them. Completely. But the times have changed, and viewers' habits have changed, and that's why you're doing what you do, right? Because
Right, definitely.
we find our content other places now. And if only we could figure out a way how to get this show in other places so more people were seeing it and products were being advertised and marketing time was being sold, we would have a much more longevity than we probably have now.
Well, a lot of your soap acting peers have taken to the web. Do you see yourself doing a web project of your own one day?
I think I see myself doing something different. I would love to be asked to be involved in something, but producing it and doing it myself, no, I don't see that happening for me. Where I see my future is, going back to the theater and performing and going back to my roots in that way, because that's where I started. You know, I'm a Broadway baby. I just, you know, I'm a singer dancer. You know, and that's what I want to go back and do. And that's why in the spring after I came out of the end of my radiation, I got myself, I spent 6 months getting myself whipped back into shape. So I'm ready to go. And, you know, I've got some interesting pots on the fire waiting to boil. And,
well, you just let us know and we will send the troops to watch and support
you got it.
Yep.
You got it, Jamie.
Well, as Jamie mentioned earlier, we were both big fans of Another World. You are married to Mark Pinter, who just happens to have played one of my all-time favorite soap villains, Grant Harrison. Is there any chance we could see Grant pop up in Oakdale one day?
I would not hold your breath.
Oh.
I don't
That's
think that
terrible. You crushed me.
In one fell swoop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I think that's got a rash chance in hell, frankly.
No.
I don't see that happening. And I think it's too bad, because what a delicious character Mark played.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Harrison was one of the all-time great villains. And here again, you know, I learned how to play a villain from my husband. There was one point back in Barbara's really evil days when I was burnt to a crisp in the fire. He saw me on the air one day. He got so upset because I was playing it so black and so dark. He said, "Oh my God, if you don't lighten that up, they're going to kill you off." Then it's okay, honey. I said, okay. I'm getting directed by my executive producer. He knows how far he wants to take me. So, it was funny. But yeah, I really, you know, I learned a lot just watching my husband and watching him at his craft.
Now, he's recently, he did have an impressive turn on GH, trying to take down those mob baddies, a thankless task that is on that show. But,
I don't think that works on that.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, when you get cast as the cop or the FBI, it's like, uh-oh. But how do you guys do it? How do you balance a two-soap family?
We used to say we did it with mirrors. It's it was harder when the children were little because, you know, they were all little and we were both working so much. And back in those days, we did have a live-in nanny who helped. Actually, a live-in au pair, which is a different thing than a live-in nanny. And we did that for about 10 years. And every year we had a new girl coming in from Europe. And I'd say we had about a 75% success rate with that. Still friends with many of the girls from Europe who are now, of course, you know, either married, have their own children. Mm-hmm. Some of them listen to all this. So I may be getting letters from some of them. Say,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So, because they, you know, they listen on the web, of course. But, you know, it takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of humor. And we were pretty bound and determined to raise these kids upright. Mm-hmm. And we're both from small towns in the Midwest. I'm from Illinois and Mark's from Iowa. And
what part?
Mark's from Decorah, Iowa, and I'm from Barrington, Illinois.
I lived in Davenport, Iowa, and worked in Moline, Illinois for 2.5 years.
Oh, no kidding. I'll be done.
Yeah.
Right on the Quad City there.
Yes, froze my tushy off. I actually worked for the Quad City Times newspaper.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. Well, so you were right between us there.
Okay. Small world.
But you know, we came from real Midwestern, working class, middle class, you know, more working class values. And, you know, I was the first one in my family to go to college. And Mark was the youngest of five kids, and we had very similar values. So we didn't have those issues to deal with. What we had to deal with was bringing two young families together. Mm-hmm. And then we had, because Mark had three and I had one, and then we had two together. And that was the challenge, was really blending the family and not having a – I've never once referred to – my stepchildren as my stepchildren. They're my children.
Oh,
you know,
that's awesome.
We never differentiated. Everybody was equal. Everybody was one and the same. In fact, I was talking to my youngest daughter, Georgia, a couple weeks ago. She's 16 now, so the baby is now 16. And I had her while Doug Marling was still writing on the show. And I said, you know, one of the best things that Dad and I ever did was raise you kids, and you are so solid and secure. And she said, you know, Mom, I never even knew about her other siblings being half siblings. She said, I never figured that out till I was about 8 or 9 or 10. I said,
oh,
because
wow.
We never talked about it. It wasn't an issue. It just wasn't an issue.
That's amazing. My grandmother would have loved you if she was here, because that she hated that also. Like, she hated when people would introduce someone as their half sister or this
and
that.
Oh my God.
You know, she just did not like that at all, because basically she was an only child until her mother remarried, and all of her siblings were half siblings. And she said that would just be ridiculous to, you know. And I totally get that. And soaps that's what she'd get frustrated when we were watching soaps, because, you know, soaps always make sure to announce, this is my half sister and stuff like that. She'd just fly into a rage.
I don't think we try to do that in Oakdale anymore, because it's far too confusing.
Yeah.
The Snyders alone.
No, it's the Stewart women that you get.
Oh, yeah,
really
they're pretty. Up. Yeah, the Stewarts and the Snyders are just like, don't even try to figure it out. As long as they're not dating, you're okay.
Right. I was trying to explain to Tom Pelfrey yesterday some of the history, and when I got to the Stewart women, his eyes just crossed.
Well, hey, he was with his cousin on Guiding Light, so I'm sure he can roll with the punches.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
all right,
man.
Now I'll go. Okay.
Well, yeah, your family life, that sounds like a web series right there. There you go. You can just draw it from your real life, you know, the modern day Brady.
I don't think I
want to
do that. I don't want to go there. No, enough reality TV is around these days.
Oh, I hear you. Well,
we don't need more. No. No balloons for me, thank you.
No balloons. The balloon boy.
The only balloon I ever knew was the one that Gunner took off in.
Oh, I was reading about him today. One of your other, yeah. You know, it's funny. It's like that kind of stuff right there. That's the reason we can't get people to watch soaps anymore, because you've got the balloon boy and John and Kate and all these real life soaps going on. But
my daughter Georgia watches, you know, Kate. My daughter Georgia watches, you know, 18 and Counting. And the little couple. And I just go, Georgia, you know. No, let's turn on TLC, Mom. Oh, my God.
You know, it's funny, Colleen. On our blog, we make a point to try not, like with our primetime blog, we mention more reality stuff sometimes. But we try not to support that in terms of, like, daytime. But, you know, I have to, like, quickly admit that I, you know, on a Saturday I could be found watching a marathon of the Kardashians. And it's like, I gripe about it so much, but it's like, but you know what they're doing with that? Because we know that the whole reality is a myth. It's just that they're
all
basic
scripted
stories. It's their basic stories of, you know, love, sex, betrayal that soaps have gotten away from, and soaps have kind of gotten to where they feel like there has to be something unbelievable for people to buy it. And, you know, these little shows are proving that all people really want is, you know, love, marriage, divorce, the same things that soaps used to do well.
That's really interesting, because I think that we still do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we do play with a little bit of the unreal, but mm-hmm. we always have played a little bit with the unreal. I mean, I'll go back to 1980 when we had Mr. Big here on the show.
The little person.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a number of Barbara had visions of her and James and Gunner before she met Gunner, excuse me. In 18th century England, you probably have seen some of those pictures at some time or another with Anthony and the beard and me,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, these
mm-hmm.
huge. We did that for 6 months. where I was having visions of myself with this evil husband and then this young blonde who comes to save me from the evil husband. We did that, and that was 1982. So it's 25 years ago. So I look at, a couple weeks ago, I watched Back to Back the first time. I watched Ghost Whisperer and then Medium. And I thought, holy smokes, I can't, because I've never watched them before. So I'm telling you, they're such popular shows. But I can't believe the length of the supernatural they go to on those shows. And let's not even talk about all the vampire shows. So and I buy it all. I like it.
Oh, yeah. So they're total soaps.
Yeah, they are. But when we start to do something that's a little more in that gothic area, I know the fans don't always like it. So though we did it years ago, and now they're doing it on primetime, and we go back and we try to do it again, we get criticized.
Right.
Why?
You know, I think it's, you know what I think it is? Like, because I was a big fan of James Riley, his early run on Days, and, you know, that's basically what he did with the show. He turned it into a gothic, you know, carnival.
Right.
But it's like, I think where, I think what, how that helped and hurt Daytime was that it was wildly successful for Days for a time period. And I think that it's kind of like a situation with anything else. It was people maybe not looking at it from a creative standpoint, which with Riley, you knew that that was just his mind really worked that way. It became a situation where executives were just like, okay, with their calculators and, you know, how can we duplicate that? Let's add vampires to another world. Check. Let's add, you know, and it just, it, there was no real rhyme or reason or, you know,
well, also,
good old fashioned.
That show is such a different vibe than, I mean, and Days are two completely different styles of show.
Yeah, I can safely say if vampires came to Oakdale, we'd have anarchy online.
Now, Jamie, you just never know.
You're right. It could happen. It could happen.
Never know. You never, never say never.
Well, if you're part of it, we know that we'd be watching because you can sell, you know, condoms to a priest. Come on.
you asked me a question earlier that I didn't answer because we got sidetracked. I got sidetracked. And that was, how do you maintain just kind of the integrity of a character all these years? And I don't know if I know the answer to that. You can fight for the character, but, you know, I know a lot of the fans believe that we can go in and do battle with writers, go in and do battle with the executive producer. It doesn't really work that way. I've never done that. I've questioned, and I said, you've got to explain this to me and show me where this is going so I get it. But doing battle and saying my character would never do that, and, you know, I mean, it might have been years ago that there were actors that could throw their weight around and pull that, but it certainly hasn't, it doesn't work on this show that way. And we don't have the time for that kind of monkey business anymore, frankly.
Right.
There used to be a lot of tantrums in one corner or another on this show years ago, but there's no time for that anymore. No time. And now I'm being called down to the set again. Let me see. I'm being called to the Lakeview Lounge. Paul, Emily, Barbara, and Nick.
That sounds interesting. Well, listen, we're not going to hold you then. We're not going to keep progress. I tell you. You go on out there and keep making us enjoy the show.
Oh,
and we have been.
So
I have to say, that's what turns his. It's gotten so much better here recently, so we're going to be watching and hoping for the best.
Well, I think you're going to be surprised. I think the next few weeks are really fabulous, and then it leads to the next. What you've seen has really been building up to the next phase of the story. So you'll get it. I mean, I even tweeted the other day to the fans, "You'll get it when you see the next video. You'll understand where we've just come from." When you see where this is all going.
It sounds really good.
I'm excited. I'm really excited, and I hope they love where the journey that we're going to go down. And I love talking to you. So thank you.
We love it too.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll keep you all day.
Okay.
right. Well, you
and let's
take
get
care.
Down there, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Most definitely.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.